From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
We welcome you to this broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Recently, Dr. Cairns began a series of studies in Psalm 138, a psalm of David's testimony to the Lord's gracious provision. The great theme of this psalm is worship, particularly how God's people are to worship Him. This subject is especially appropriate in this day of man-centered worship. Dr. Cairns will be with us in just a few minutes. First, we invite you to enjoy a devotional thought from the pen of Charles Haddon Spurgeon.
This morning's text is found in Nahum chapter 1 and verse 2. God is jealous. Your Lord is very jealous of your love, O believer. Did He choose you? He cannot bear that you should choose another. Did He buy you with His own blood? He cannot endure that you should think that you are your own, or that you belong to this world. He loved you with such a love that He would not stop in heaven without you. He would sooner die than you should perish. And He cannot endure that anything should stand between your heart's love and Himself. He is very jealous of your trust. He will not permit you to trust in an arm of flesh. He cannot bear that you should hew out broken cisterns when the overflowing fountain is always free to you. When we lean upon Him, He is glad. But when we transfer our dependence to another, when we rely upon our own wisdom or the wisdom of a friend, worst of all, when we trust in any works of our own, He is displeased and will chasten us that He may bring us to Himself. He is also very jealous of our company. There should be no one with whom we converse so much as with Jesus. To abide in Him only, this is true love. But to commune with the world, to find sufficient solace in our carnal comforts, to prefer even the society of our fellow Christians to secret fellowship with Him, this is grievous to our jealous Lord. He would fain have us abide in Him and enjoy constant fellowship with Himself. And many of the trials which He sends are for the purpose of weaning our hearts from the creature and fixing them more closely upon Himself. Let this jealousy, which should keep us near to Christ, be also a comfort to us. For if He loves us so much as to care thus about our love, we may be sure that He will suffer nothing to harm us, and will protect us from all our enemies. Oh, that we may have grace this day to keep our hearts in sacred chastity for our Beloved alone, with sacred jealousy shutting our eyes to all the fascinations of the world.
Thank you.
On the night before the Lord Jesus Christ was crucified, he instituted an ordinance by which his people were to remember him until his second coming. Known as the Lord's Supper, or Communion, this simple yet profound ceremony pictures Christ's broken body and shed blood through the common elements of bread and wine. Through the centuries, this observance has been a precious and solemn time for the Lord's people. Yet it has also been a subject of much abuse by those who come to this table of the Lord. At the extreme, a person's attitude toward it was a matter of life or death. During the time of the Reformation, many people were burned at the stake for refusing to accept the insistence of the Roman Catholic Church that the elements of communion literally became Christ's flesh and blood. Some groups see these elements as mere symbols, while others find in the Lord's table a much deeper significance. Dr. Alan Cairns recently wrote a short book in which he deals with the Lord's Supper from the scriptural teaching on the subject. Simply titled, The Lord's Supper, the book is subtitled, An Earthly Encounter with the Heavenly Christ. Its aim is to stir the hearts of believers to enter into the joyful fellowship our Savior holds out to us as we eat this bread and drink this cup in remembrance of him. Let the Bible Speak has obtained a limited number of copies of this publication, which are available to our listeners. The price for each copy of the Lord's Supper is $8, which includes shipping and handling. You may have a copy by sending your check for $8, made out to Let the Bible Speak. You may write Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may email us to reserve a copy at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Or call our toll-free number, 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. Be sure to request your copy of the Lord's Supper today. This week, Dr. Alan Cairns is preaching a message entitled, The Psalm of the Word, part of a series based on Psalm 138. The text is the closing phrase of verse 2, for thou hast magnified thy word above all thy name. In seeking to discover the application of the expression thy word, Dr. Cairns has first pointed to the Bible itself, God's most explicit way of revealing himself to men. Then this expression may be a reference to the incarnate word, the Lord Jesus Christ. A third possibility is that the word God has magnified is his covenant word, the promises he made to his people, beginning with the covenant he made with Abraham, that in his seed should all the families of the earth be blessed, that promise that is fulfilled in Christ. And now to bring God's word for today, here is Dr. Alan Cairns.
You see, here in Christ, all the perfections of God are embodied in a person who walked among us, a person who belongs to history, a person who was true man, true flesh and blood, a person who is still accessible to us. In him, God and man, two distinct natures, but one indivisible person for all eternity, in him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Here we see all the divine attributes in operation. Do you want to see the power of God? Then see Jesus. This brings creation out of the realm of what's called ontology. You know, we read, in the beginning God created. That's as much as I can know about that. That's not an action witnessed by any mortal being. It's why it's beyond the realm of scientific investigation. It is not a reproducible act in any laboratory of man. So, here's something that brings creation out of that realm to something that touches our lives. See the Lord Jesus standing in the open heathland, the hills overlooking the Sea of Galilee. See him surrounded by thousands of starving people, wearied out with a long journey and a long day. And he takes five loaves and he breaks them. Now, this is not magic, but it is mystery. Those five loaves had a specific content. All the ingredients were measured and limited. You break five little loaves, you mustn't understand big loaves with about 40 slices. You must understand five little rolls that would be, hardly rolls even, more like flat things that would be for one little boy to eat at one sitting. You break them, what have you got? You've got five loaves broken with all the goodness in the world. You couldn't make more than one or two people be satisfied even for a day or for a half a day or for half an hour with them. But as he broke, he gave, and he gave, and he gave, and he gave. And 5,000 men besides women and children were fed to the full, and 12 baskets full were left that weren't eaten. There's power, and there's creation in the hands of the Savior. When in Cana of Galilee, the servants took water and they poured it. It was water in their hand. It was wine by the creative act of Jesus Christ. Oh, that's power. You see him calming the storm. Are there any more beautiful words in Scripture? Peace, be still. There are storms that would ravage this world were it not that Christ is still doing that very thing. And there are metaphoric storms that would wreck your life were he not doing the very same thing. We see his power healing the sick, raising the dead, crushing Satan, laying down his own life, no man taking it from him, laying down his own life and then taking it up again, as he himself had said. Do you want to know about God's love and God's mercy? Can you see it any more clearly than Christ loving the unlovely? Do you see him with that poor fallen woman? And he says, neither do I condemn thee. Do you see him with the other who had washed his feet with her tears and dried them with her hair? Go your way. Your sins are gone. Old Simon says, that's the Pharisee, he says, this man doesn't know what he's dealing with. If he knew that woman the way I knew her, he wouldn't let her touch him. You see, that's the glory of Christ's mercy and his power and his purity. You and I touch the filth, and the filth imparts itself to us. Jesus Christ touched the filth, and he imparted his purity to it, cleared it away. You see him living and dying, not for sinners in general, just. Don't just lose this. He died the just for the unjust. Oh, that's wonderful and true. But remember, I'm the unjust. I'm the sinner. I'm the ungodly. I'm that filthy rebel who ought to die and be damned eternally. And Jesus Christ could love me enough to die and shed his blood for me. Do you want to see God's justice and God's judgment? Then hear Christ as he thunders against the scribes and the Pharisees and warns them, how can you escape the damnation of hell? Today, we see his glory. We who know him, we see his glory. We see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor. We see him. But the day is coming when all the world will see him. 2 Thessalonians 1 tells me of that day when he will come in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. It tells me of that day when he will be glorified and admired by and in his people, but equally in the destruction of the ungodly. Oh, I tell you, here is the fullness. As Hebrews 1 tells us, God, who has spoken all these ways in the past, has now spoken once and for all in Jesus Christ. And then the final thing I'll say is this. Thy word, thou hast exalted or magnified thy word above all thy name. Thy word may refer specifically to the covenant word. And in that sense, the doctrine is that faithfulness to his promise is God's chief and most obvious attribute in dealing with his people. David here may have been thinking of the promises of God in general, but I think it's more probable that he had in mind some very particular or great promise. Many Bible commentators believe that he wrote this in response to the promise of 2 Samuel 7, verses 12 and 13. When thy days be fulfilled, thou shalt sleep with thy fathers. I will set up thy seed after thee, which shall proceed out of thy bowels, and I will establish his kingdom. He shall build an house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. Obviously, the immediate reference there is Solomon. But David understood it, I believe, to the ultimate reference, the greater than David and the greater than Solomon, he whose kingdom would be literally forever, namely the Lord Jesus Christ, the great Messiah. Now, David immediately in verse 21 in 2 Samuel 7 said, "For thy word's sake and according to thine own heart hast thou done all these great things to make thy servant know them." Very similar, "for thy word's sake." And here he's saying, "Thou hast exalted thy word." This promise, this glorious covenant promise. I believe there's a lot to be said for him responding to the promise of Christ. But whatever the promise, at least this is clear. David had a promise in mind. And the fact that he was celebrating is, God never promises without performing. God is holy, God is just, God is great, God is majestic, God is all wise, God is all powerful. You can say all those things. But you know, without this, you'll get little good out of all those truths. David is saying, "Lord, when I see all the wondrous manifestations and all the wondrous witnesses to the greatness and glory of my God, there is one thing that stands out above the rest. In all your dealings with me, you have exalted this to the topmost level. You have shown my God is faithful to his covenant promise." That's something on which you can depend. You remember what Solomon said? 1 Kings 8:56. "There hath not failed one word of all the good promise of God." And again he makes a statement such as, "Thou hast spoken with thy mouth, thou hast fulfilled it with thy hand." God's word is never an empty word. It is never a vain promise. It is never something that God may forget or go back upon. He has exalted his word. In other words, what he says, he has put that right at the pinnacle of all the ways in which he has made himself known to us. And he's saying, "I want you to understand this. You can depend on my word. You can depend on my promise." Think of the Psalm 37, verse 5, "Commit thy way unto the Lord." Literally, "Roll thy way upon the Lord." That way of care and trouble, that way of perplexity and worry, that way of uncertainty and confusion, that way of challenge and difficulty, that way of suffering and anguish, roll it upon the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. That's the promise. One preacher, Mr. Barnes, told me about it was J. Sidlow Baxter. I think it was Baxter called his ideas and his messages on Psalm 37:5, "Feasting on the Faithfulness of God." Beautiful theme. And that's what our text invites you to do this morning. "Thou hast exalted thy word above all thy name. Thou hast exalted thy promise. Thou hast exalted thy faithfulness." When God says it, he'll do it. He'll do what he has said, as he has said, when he has said, for the reasons he has said, and nothing can stop him. He'll do it. Feasting on the faithfulness of God.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, or if you'd like to see if there is a free church in your area, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we Let the Bible Speak.